Amen. Good evening, everybody. Genesis chapter 12 this evening, please. You know it's going to be a doozy. I already offended Pastor Rick. Now he's back there keeping an eye on John. Genesis chapter 12. I do the elementary chapel for CCS, and we've been in Genesis for the entire school year, so their Bibles automatically open to Genesis. I can't hear you either. See, you can hear me. You just laughed. All right. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 this evening. And we're actually going to use our Bibles quite a bit, so I hope that's all right on a Bible study. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6 to 9. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So I think we're probably familiar with this. This is Abram, who has left Ur of the Chaldees, has spent some time in Haran, and is now entering into the place where God was leading him to, what we know today as the Promised Land or Israel. Abram then goes to Egypt and he returns. So turn to Genesis 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Genesis 13, 1, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So he leaves. He's in the Promised Land. He leaves. He goes to Egypt. He returns back, and he goes back in verse 4 unto the place of the altar which he made there at the first, and Abram called on the name of the Lord. So he went back to that same altar that he originally built, that altar that's fixed. The tent was movable. The altar was fixed. If you know the story, there's strife that happens between Lot and Abram's herdsmen. Abram allows Lot to choose what land he wants. You know, they're having the herdsmen are having a problem. Abram says, hey, you pick what you want, Lot. I'll take the other half. He gives Lot looks towards Sodom. He chooses Sodom, the good grazing land. And God again meets with Abram. After that, in Genesis 13, 18, we read again, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So the title of my message tonight is Abraham's Tents and Altars. And we're going through all this because there's a lot of times where we see Abraham moved his tent and either built an altar or went back to an altar he had previously made. Okay, so this is just after Lot and Abram's herdsmen had a problem. Abram said, hey, you take whatever you want. They separated. And when Abram did that, God renewed his promises to him. And that's what we read here in verse 18. He built there an altar unto the Lord. We go forward a little bit more, and God has promised Abram a child of promise, and Abraham now, not Abram anymore, but Abraham now is asked to sacrifice him. If you go back and read through the chapters we're going to skip over tonight, you're going to find out that there were a lot of things that happened in Abraham's tent. God gave him the promise of the child that was going to come, Isaac, as we know him. Sarah was in the tent. You'll see tent in there. If you go through and look and read these chapters, you'll find over and over again that Abraham is dwelling in his tent. It's in the tent that Sarah, a 90-year-old barren woman, laughs at the thought of having a child. All of these things happen in the tent. Abraham and Isaac, they go to the land of Moriah. God's asked, this child is now born. Isaac is his name. God asked Abraham to take him to the land of Moriah. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2 is where he asked him to go to the land of Moriah. And in verse 9, then they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So again, the message tonight is Abraham's tents and altars. And so with all that kind of as background and in mind as our scripture reading, let's pray and then the lesson, the message. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, I pray that as we look through this evening, through Abraham's life, and Lord, what a man of faith, and I pray that you would help us to see the importance of the fixed altar, but the tent that's movable. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that. I pray that you would help us, Lord, just to speak to our hearts individually. Lord, I pray that you would just fill me with your spirit, that you would give me the words to say. Be with Pastor as he's away. Protect him, his family. And Lord, we'll just give you the praise and the glory for all that you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So again, we're kind of picking up in the middle of a story. I don't really like to do that, but I think we're probably familiar with this, where God has called Abram, out of the land where he was living and asked him, told him to go to a land that he would show him. Now, he did not share a Google Maps route of where he was going to go. Abram didn't know where he was going. And he had to go home. And I've said this before, and this just blows my mind. He had to go home to Sarah and say, honey, we're leaving. And she, oh, great, Abram, where are we going to? I don't know. I don't know how your wives are, but my wife would not be happy about that. I don't know where we're going. I mean, I don't know. We're moving. Where are we moving to? I don't know. God's going to show us the place. And apparently, you know, I don't know if he was a great convincer or if Sarah was just that filled with faith, but Sarah accompanied him on the journey. It's just one of those human things, right? Abram is this great man of faith, but he had a wife he had to go home and share this news with. And that makes it very real, right? God is going to take him to a place where God is going to guide him to. And he had to go home and tell his wife. And this whole time, Abram is living in a tent. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but a tent by its very nature is a movable thing. I mean, it's on purpose designed to be folded up and moved frequently. It's a tent. It's not a permanent dwelling place. And tonight we're going to look at that. We're going to see how we should be like Abraham. We should be living here not as a permanent home, but our altar should be, our worship of God should be permanent. So the first thing here is that Abraham lived in a tent. Abraham recognized above anything else that this world was not his home. We see that in where he chose to live. A tent is, again, not a permanent structure. Look at Abraham in his tent. There was a famine in the promised land. He moved to Egypt. And in the very next verses, he moved to Egypt. Later, he moves his tent back to the promised land. There's no permanence there. There's nothing there, you know, he's not having the weeds grow up around him. He's always moving. He was mobile. His sights, though, were fixed on heaven. God promised him the land. He knew it was his. He knew it was his heirs. He easily could have built a mansion, a palace there, but instead he chose to dwell in a tent all the days of his life. A tent, by its nature, limits your earthly possessions. You have to be able to move it. It's easy to accumulate junk. Amen. When we moved back from the Philippines, we basically owned nothing. And now today we are tripping over, there's not a room in our house where you go where you're not tripping over things. And the garage has shrunk, and the kitchen has shrunk, and our house has shrunk. as we've accumulated more and more. I was thinking the other day, I was washing clothes, and I used to just have enough to get through a week, and I just washed everything I owned once a week, and now I can let it accumulate for a month, and that's not so fun when it's time to wash it. You just go buy new t-shirts. A tent, though, by its nature, it limits your earthly possessions. You know, I have down here, it's a very American thing. You fill your house full of junk, and then you go and rent a storage place to get the junk out to put it over there. And you don't ever visit it, you don't use it, you don't need it, but you pay $20 a month for the privilege of having an extra place to put more junk. A tent doesn't allow that. A tent, you can't just put it off on the side. It's things that you use frequently you're going to have, things that are, important. Those are the only things that you're going to have. And there are people here on this earth who spend all of their time, they spend all of their energy, they spend all of their talent to acquire everything they can possibly get. All they want is the world's earthly goods. They use that wealth to build the biggest, largest, most spectacular buildings that they possibly can. The highest building in the world. It keeps getting taller and taller and taller. It's insane. Their focus is completely on things that will just pass away. Things that aren't permanent. Nothing wrong with having a nice house. Nothing wrong with having material things, as long as you keep your focus correct. When we came back from the Philippines, we were driving down 32. Yeah, Route 32 going towards Sykesville. And on the right side, they've built some extremely large homes. Of course, that's about everywhere in Carroll County these days. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's like that's not even City Hall in a lot of countries. And like two people live in that house with their dog. It's embarrassing. We took some of the Filipino teachers to, I took them to Kids Kingdom. I didn't know they tore down the playground at Kids Kingdom. So I took them to a playground that didn't exist. But they're building new houses there, and they were just like, oh, wow, it's so big, because they're building houses, and it's embarrassing. It's like the houses are so large, and all of this material stuff, and it's like, I had to tell them, nobody owns their house. They all rent it from the bank. They're all just, renting it from the bank. They're renting their land from the government. We do that. We have people have they spend all of their time accumulating wealth, getting the biggest and best things that they can, because their sights are fixed here. The Bible calls our bodies as tabernacles or tents. I think everybody in here is probably old enough to know that your body is not permanent. It's breaking down. This morning I woke up and I walked down the stairs and like my knee almost gave out. I'm not that old, but like how did that happen? I don't even do anything. How in the world did my knee just suddenly start hurting? It's just the body just breaks apart. And the body says that our tabernacles, our tents, this dwelling place for my soul and my spirit are not permanent. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Keep your place in Genesis. We're going to go back there, so keep your finger there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to start reading in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So here we have a tabernacle. In heaven we have a house. That's a little more permanent. Verse 3, if so being clothed that we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Abraham had his tents. The man had wealth. We read it in Genesis. He had great wealth. He had cattle and gold. He had servants. He had everything the world could offer, yet he lived in a non-permanent structure. Why is that? Because this world was not where his focus was. It's so easy to get your eyes fixed on things around the tent, the things of this world. I've been talking about material things, but also the problems of the world. I mean, you think, you know, oh, this is happening. You know, what's happening in the Ukraine is horrible. You know, one nation attacking another nation, and it is. But they're just temporary. All of the problems, all of the nonsense that's going on in the world today, it's all just temporary. I like in what we read in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's a very short time we're on this earth. If somebody lives to be 100 years old, we're very impressed. That is an extremely long life. And yet that's nothing. 100 years is literally nothing. It is absolutely nothing. And so, you know, it's a temporary thing that we're living in. Not only the material things, but also in the problems and the troubles of the world. So that's Abraham's tent, right? A non-permanent. It just shows his thought, right? We know Abraham's faith because of his works. We know Abraham's thoughts because of where he lived. Then we have, how can the man be content in a tent? That's hard to say. How can he be content to just live in a tent? And that's where his altars came in, because Abraham's altars were fixed. He built altars to the Lord, but he never built a house for himself. The altar was the place of worship for God. It was the place of sacrifice, the place of dedication. Noah built an altar when he got off the ark, and he sacrificed to God, totally in dedication to the Lord. In the same manner, Abraham builds an altar to God when he makes a promise to him. Turn back to Genesis we're actually going to look at chapter 11 for just a second. Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. Let's contrast what Abraham did with what happens at the Tower of Babel, because this is what we see today. This is what the world builds. This is what the world is dedicated to. This is what happens when you get your eyes on the world. Look at Genesis 11, 4. Flood happens. God tells the people to scatter. The people don't scatter. They say, we're not going to do that. We're going to build us here in verse 4. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God's command was for them to go and scatter. They said, no way. We're going to build us something here that's going to reach to the top of heaven. Probably thinking if there's ever a flood again, we're going to just rise above it. Contrast that with what Abraham did. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 7. There builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Verse 8. There he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He built an altar out of thankfulness. It wasn't Abraham's altar. It was an altar built by Abraham to God, where it wasn't selfish. It was like a spontaneous act of gratitude to God for bringing him safely to where he was, and then for giving him all of these promises, things that he didn't deserve. Did he have to build an altar? No. He was where God told him. Could he have worshiped God just in his heart? Did he really have to build an altar? Couldn't he have just worshiped God in his heart? Well, he could, but that's what was going on in his heart was manifest outward by his building an altar. By that public declaration that I worship Jehovah God, and this is what he wants me to do. He wants me to sacrifice to him. He wants me to praise him. Many, many years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about people coming forward to the altar. Now, this isn't really an altar. This is stairs. But you come forward to the altar. You come forward publicly to make a decision. And he said, I can't understand why we do that. Why is it important to go forward? Can't you just make a decision in your seat? Well, of course you can. You can sit in your seat and you can make a decision. This man in particular knew that God wanted him to be in the ministry, was talking about surrendering to the ministry, and he said, well, I can just do it from my seat. And I told him, well, yeah, you can, but if you go forward, then it's public, and now you're accountable for it. Right? I don't tell anybody when I'm dieting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't tell people when I am, because then they know I'm not. Or it might be for a day or two. But if I tell you, then you're gonna be like, hey, I thought you were gonna, you know, see me in two, three weeks, and I'm the same, you know, giant tent that I am right now. You're gonna say, hey, I thought you were dieting. Yeah, no, it hasn't gone very well. Well, if you go forward and you say, hey, God's called me into the ministry. God's spoken to my heart through this message, and I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to kneel at the altar, which isn't an altar, it's just a set of stairs. You kneel at the altar, you come forward, and somebody says, hey, you know, I heard you made a decision for the Lord. I hear you surrender the ministry. How's that going? That guy who would not do that, who wanted to make the decision to see, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. He doesn't answer to me. He answers to God. I know he's not in the ministry today. He never did what God called him to do. The altar, right? The altar is, it's not just, you know, yes, you can make a decision for God in your heart. Yes, you can keep it all inside, but what's inside comes out. And in Abram, what we see is that he built an altar. His thankfulness, his gratitude to the Lord, his praise for the Lord came out. I don't care who knows it. I'm building an altar here. And that altar was a permanent fixed thing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they all built altars to God to worship him. Abraham made his altars, his worship of God. He made it on fixed, unmovable truth. I mean, when you want to make something permanent, you make it out of rock. Now, around here, there are houses that still have stone foundations. Literally, rock upon rock. Right? And they stand. I don't know of any wood foundations. If I do, just wait about 10 years and they're all going to be gone. They don't last. They simply don't last. Today, we don't build with rock, but we use what is basically artificial rock, concrete. And all of you have a basement, and in that basement, you have, we don't call them hollow blocks here, what do we call it? Cinder blocks. You have cinder blocks. You have basically what is a fabricated stone piled upon each other, and there's actually stones inside of it. But if you want to make a building permanent, you build it out of rock, stone, something like that. You don't make it out of wood. You don't make it out of the fabric that would cover a tent. Of course, God's word is the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, you probably know these verses. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion as chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You're a part of the body of Christ, and of such you're a rock in that building. It's like, make sure that your worship of God is founded on the word of God, on the rock. It's not movable. It's permanent. It's not a movable structure. It's unchanging. It does not drift with every wind that comes along. Right? The wise man built his house upon a rock. And the winds came down. How does the song go? And the winds came down and beat upon the rock, and the house stood still because it was founded upon a rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And the rains came and beat upon it, and the rain descended, the floods came up, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the house of it. Why? Because it was founded on sand. I feel like you're not getting it. Look, Abraham was taken to a place, stood on a mountain, and God said, look, you see all that, Abram? It's all yours. Like everything, like turn around, and all of that is yours. It's yours. It's your family's. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you this land. All of your posterity are going to live in this land. The whole nation all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through you. And what would be the first thing you would do? I think we need to orient the house this way. And then we can add on. And we're going to build a big house because we're going to be here forever. I mean, you understand? I mean, Abraham was not offered like, okay, this is where you're. Like all of this is yours. And this is the God who took him out of where he lived, brought him to where he was supposed to be, who gave him a child in 90 years old and 100 years old, who gave him all these promises, who stopped him from killing his only child. And he had no thought whatsoever of putting down roots there. He just lived in a tent. Because all of it didn't mean a whole lot. His eyes were on heaven. And that's for us. Our living here is temporary. I mean, we're just living in tents. We are just tents. We have tabernacles of our body. And the only thing that's going to last is our worship for Christ. Is what we do for Christ. You go to heaven, you're not going to find a tent. We have a house. We have a mansion in heaven. It's not a tent. That's where we're going to live. That's where our eyes should be. Who cares if you have a small house down here? I got a mansion in heaven. Who cares if I go without things because I'm giving to some missionary to spread the gospel? That's fine. Who cares? I mean, all those things are wood, hay, and stubble. They make fun of America because we built our house out of paper. I mean, we take little chips of wood and we build. I mean, if you think about it, our houses are kind of puny. They're like, they put plastic wrap on the outside of them now. And I mean, our houses are, I saw a thing, the guy was like, no, he said, our houses aren't made out of paper. And he cut a piece of wood open and it had cardboard inside. He said, it's made out of cardboard. I mean, our houses are, I mean, all of these things are just going to be burned up. They're temporary things. They're going to pass away. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it a tent or an altar? Is it wood, hay, and stubble, or is it precious stones, gold, and silver? If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. They bury those pharaohs with all that stuff so they could take it to the afterlife. You know where it's at? Right where they buried it. It's wasted. All of those things, all of that accumulation, all of that drive to build the bigger house, to build the bigger car, to get, whatever, it's all wasted at the end because none of it's going to stand. It's all going to be burned up. The only thing that's going to last is the altar. Those altars that you build. And by the way, Abraham wasn't the only one who lived in tents. Isaac also lived in tents. And Jacob also lived in tents. Which tells me that he passed that mentality, that thinking, that mindset on to his kids. Again, Abraham was not a poor man. This wasn't plan B for Abraham. Well, I can't build a house, I'll live in a tent. This was his decision. He was a very, very wealthy man. He could have built a palace easily, but he chose not to. He chose to live in a tent. We need to live like Abraham. Turn to Hebrews 11, and we'll be done. Oh, that's not too bad. Hebrews, the Hebrew, Hebrews 11, the Hebrews Hall of Fame of faith, right? We focus on faith in this chapter, and it's because it's right in your face. You have to, but think about Abraham's tents and altars as we read through these verses. Okay, think about those things. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's verse 8. I'm sorry, did I not say that? Verse 9. I have a big title on mine that says Abraham and Sarah. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received their promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, because they lived in tents. For they say such things, for they that say such things, Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. There's the altar, right? Right. This is great down here, but I'm looking for something better. I'm looking for a country. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. We left that place. We ain't going back. I mean, we could take our tent back there, but there's no way, because we're looking forward. We're looking upward. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received their promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, then in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I mean, Abraham lived in a tent, but it's more than just the place where he abode. It's like his mindset, right? Isn't that what we just, he wasn't worried about the things of the earth. He had a strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. You know what Abram said? Man, you pick whatever you want. I don't care about all this. God will take care of me. I'm going to heaven. I'm going somewhere better. My eyes are fixed on the altar. My eyes are fixed on that thing that is going to be much better. And listen, we have trials and troubles in this world. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. You see things and you just like, oh, I want that. That looks good. Oh, I have to have that. Oh, and you get your eyes on the things of this world, the next thing that comes along, all that stuff's going to pass away. Nothing wrong with having them. Nothing wrong with that. I'm sure Abram lived in a nice tent, but it was still a tent. And it limited his ability to have all of the things of the world. And he probably didn't want them anyhow, because his eyes were on heaven. When it comes down to it, all that's going to remain is the altars. And those were fixed and movable. We see over and over again, Abraham moved his tent and fixed an altar. He moved his tent and he fixed an altar. He moved his tent and he went back to that altar, meaning it was a permanent structure. It would be good for all of us to be like Abraham. you know, this is good, being in church. It's good being around you all. I'm glad church's only 2 hours. Then we can go home. My introvert nature. But, you know, it's good to be in church. It's good to be around. And this is good, but it's going to be a whole lot better. It's going to be a whole lot better. And as you go through trials and troubles and you see the problems, you see the riches, the things of this world, those that are getting gain through illegal and nefarious tactics, it's all going to pass away. It's all they have. Don't be jealous of them. Don't envy them, because that is all they have. What we have is up there, and it's a whole lot better. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we know that we have a home in heaven. We know that this is not all that we have. Boy, if this is all we had to live for, Lord, what misery it would be. No wonder the world's such a miserable place. It's all they have is what they have. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to, as Christians, to see that the altars are what's important, the decisions we make, the things that we do for you, the worship that we have for you, the gratitude that we show to you. Those are the things that are permanent, that are eternal, Lord. And the things of this earth, whether we have them or not, is irrelevant. It's that our focus should not be on those things. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see that. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to just be content with what you've given us. Help us, Lord, to just do all we can for you as we can. Our days here are short, and Lord, I pray that we do what we can while we can, Lord, knowing that we have eternity to spend with you. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.